I'm speaking today with Gilbert Garcia, who is the chair of the Metro Board, and Christoph Spieler, who is one of the board members. And we're going to talk today about the Metro referendum that will be on the ballot in November. Gentlemen, let me start by just asking you generally, give me the high-level reason why this referendum exists and why people should vote for it.
Sure. The first thing about thank you very much for having us. The first thing about the referendum, it exists because in the 2003 referendum, we are required from that 03 referendum to call another one approximately now, either this November or in the spring. And according to the 03 referendum, this current referendum is to be about the general mobility program. All the general mobility contracts with our multi-cities, City of Houston and County, all terminate in September 14. So the why is because we have to. So we've gone through a long process. I think it's probably been a year of community meetings, various outreach, testimony, emails. We've gotten hundreds and hundreds of emails. And I will tell you that the broad range of what to do with the mobility is as broad as you can stick your arms apart. People on the one hand saying we need to keep all those funds rather than giving out 25% for road projects. Metro needs all the funds. Everything from University Line, 90A, more buses, bus shelters, everything. On the other spectrum where people say, well, you've got to continue the mobility projects as is because the cities and the county have come to rely on them. So throughout this time period, we've been trying to find, or I've certainly been trying to find, some type of middle ground that would accomplish two things. The first, that would continue mobility funding at some level, while at the same time, over time, get more money for Metro. And so that's what I've been trying to do, and I think we've landed at a place that's a good place. It wasn't my original desired place, but I think it's a very good place. And so let me pause there and just see if Christoph, you want to add anything to that, Christoph?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, clearly this is a referendum is a follow-on to 2003, because the 2003 referendum is what set up the financial system we've been working under since 2003. It set up a series of projects, and it set up this next referendum. So what we have now on the ballot is something where the yes vote on this does get more money to transit than if general mobility had continued at 25%, which is the level it's been at since 1988. Metro has been sending 25% of its sales tax for road projects. So this gives us an extra margin. That 25% starts to go down, and there's extra money available there to improve the bus service. What this doesn't do, and I think it's important to realize what it doesn't do is give us the resources to fully follow through on the 2003 referendum. And why doesn't it do that? What happened along the way? 2003 promised four rail lines by 2012. We're going to get three rail lines by 2014. And what happened? It's really simple. The economy fell apart. You look at the sales tax projections, and then you look at sales tax reality, and they diverged very sharply in 2008, and our projections, our best projections right now, never catch up with the projections they were working off of before 2008. There is a permanent hit to the sales tax, and if you look at the amount of that hit, that would have been enough to build University Line comfortably. So if the economy had not hit the worst recession since the Great Depression, the money would have been there under the 25%, with continuing 25% general mobility to get all four of those rail lines built. As it is, we've got enough to build three, and under this referendum, we've got to wait until somewhere in the mid-2020s till we have enough room to really start construction on the next, given the projections we have right now.
So, I mean, that's obviously the heartburn that everybody has, and this is why transit advocates oppose this referendum, because if it is voted down, the GMP ends, all that money goes back to Metro, and the argument is if we have to wait a decade or more for the University Line, it's better to get all that money now so we can fulfill the promise of the 2003 referendum. So Why shouldn't we do that?
Well, I feel the frustration that others feel because I want to see the university line built as well as the rest of the '03 referendum fulfilled. I think Christoph described circumstances accurately. There may have also been some missteps along the way, frankly, in the past. But ultimately, we are here. I'm going to take a sidebar, if I could, which is the referendum language in place, as I mentioned, it will extend mobility payments at a level, but in such a way for Metro to get additional funds. Those funds will go to two very critical things, things that need to be accomplished and need to be addressed before we can take the next step of any large capital project. And those two things are, number one, addressing the short-term commercial paper borrowing that has accumulated over the last 10 years or so. The other is to address the bus system where we've had ridership declines. And so those are two areas that need to be focused on before we can really make a major capital project, the next step. And so I think this is a very positive step because it will get funds to address those two items. The other thing I would make a case to all of us who are very pro-rail is, you know, we are looking at sales tax projections from very weak levels because of the recession that we just came out of. I think sales tax is going to be even stronger. And so I'm very optimistic that the projection that Christoph just mentioned, mid-20s, will be potentially less than that. And so I'm very hopeful.
John, I think if we want to get rail built sooner than that, this referendum doesn't actually preclude that. It could be that the world is better than we think it's going to be. Or it could be that we need to look at partnerships we haven't looked at in the past. One of the interesting things that's happened recently is the Uptown District has actually come to Metro with a proposal to partner on building BRT on Post Oak, which actually fulfills one of the aspects of the 2003 referendum. If we can find a similar partnering arrangement, if we can find something where the Metro sales tax isn't bearing 100% of the cost of a project, that would be a way to get something done quicker. So this isn't closing the door altogether. And if we get more creative and we work with our partners, we may find ways to get some of these projects done, and I hope we do.
Well, let me suggest two possibilities, since one of the things that's been pointed out to me is that a big part of Metro's costs in doing any of these rail projects is essentially street and drainage repair, sewer repair. Seems to me that, and this was something that was discussed when the first iteration of the referendum that would have given the city of Houston more money came out, is to get the city of Houston to bear some of the cost of the inevitable work that would need to be done along the way on the university's line. Of course, the other source of money is the federal government, since you guys actually have in hand a record of decision for the university line, which I presume will expire someday. So what are the prospects for either of those things?
Well, I don't think we can answer the question as to what the prospects are of the city paying a share of those lines. I think intellectually that makes sense. And I think it also makes sense
to say, is that something Metro will consider pursuing? Let me put it to you that
way. It makes sense to say that if the city is going to repave a street anyway, if a street has gotten to a condition where under rebuild it needs to be addressed, and that street is a street where we're intending to put transit, that should be done as a joint project and take advantage of that opportunity. That makes a lot of sense to me. But that's not something Metro can dictate. Ultimately, that is a decision for the mayor and for city council to decide how to do something like that.
The other thing I would add to what Christoph just said, but it's really to your question, is the other element is, of course, federal funding. And I think it's important that, you know, all of us that are pro-rail, that we do our darndest to make sure our elected officials recognize the importance of that university line. Because, of course, we all know there are steps in Congress to really prevent federal funding on that line. And I really think that's something that people need to focus on, and to not only prevent that from happening, but to also get more support from our congressional leaders to get more federal funding down here to complete that line and for other projects. And so I think that's a very significant thing that the community should be focusing on.
Well, and let me, but this isn't just about rail. I mean, I'm a big fan. I ride the train every day, so I believe in rail. But what I believe in more than rail is high-quality transit. What you look at when you look at Houston is when we put the money in to building high-quality transit, we get ridership, park and rides. That was a significant investment. That was nearly a $1 billion investment. In a series of HOV lanes and park and ride lots, which mean that you can get on that park and ride bus in that park and ride lot. It goes directly into the HOV lane without hitting a single traffic light. And then it runs nonstop to downtown, exits directly onto downtown streets, drops you off two blocks from your building. The people who work downtown and live around those park and ride lots, half of them take those buses to work. That's extraordinary. You look at the Main Street line, more riders per mile than any other new Starts Light rail line in the United States. What do those two have in common? That transit has its own lane, which means it's reliable. And that transit is frequent. So that's the kind of projects we need. And that's not just rail. That can be BRT, for example. And I think we should be looking at other opportunities, too. For example, TxDOT wants to rebuild I-45. If you're going to rebuild I-45 and you're going to include a two-way HOT lane in there, how about you design that so there's some intermediate stations along the way, and then you tie the local bus network into that, and you end up with something that's rail-like, high-speed, in its own lane service that runs downtown to Greens Point and onto the airport. It could be a project which could completely transform transit on the north side of Houston, and that could be incorporated in the highway project. And incidentally, federal highway funds can be flexed to pay for transit. So TxDOT is a transportation department. I think it's a reasonable request to make of TxDOT is, can you include this transit project as part of your freeway project? We haven't really thought like that in this region, but if you look at places like Denver, for example, they have thought that way, and they've gotten really good projects out of it.
All right. Let's talk briefly about what happens if this referendum fails. I mean, right now it's being pushed by, certainly by Harris County and the member cities. I think the city of Houston is focused more on its own referenda, but certainly I presume they're on board with this. What happens if it fails?
Sure. Well, first of all, we're going to work very hard for it not to fail. And I think that for the first time in a very long time, you've gotten people who normally disagree about transit in the community working together. And so I think that's a wonderful, positive thing. If it fails, realistically, all the agreements terminate. Now, I'm going to speculate a little bit, but I always, am uncomfortable speculating. But speculating, realistically, the multi-cities, the city of Houston and Harris County, have all come to rely on a lot of those funds. And we know that road projects are supported by the community. I foresee some type of mobility-type projects. I can't really address the form or how much, but I do foresee some type of mobility projects continuing. I think it would be very difficult for the board to really look at all these decisions, which is why we're going to make sure it passes. Keep in mind that prior to 88, and 88 was the time that the mobility was institutionalized the way we think of it today, there were always mobility projects. And I think the mobility projects were somewhere in the 10 to 12% type range. So there were always mobility projects. So I can foresee going to some sort of system very similar to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's interesting about this proposition is the ballot language, which is really simple. It's the continued dedication of up to 25% of Metro sales and use tax revenue for street improvements and related projects. That's what it says. It doesn't say anything about transit. It says the continued dedication. And so it seems to me if the voters were to vote no on this, we could not continue the general mobility program as we know it. And I'd say the general mobility program as we know it has two components. One is it's 25%. That's what was set in 1988, and it's been there ever since. And as Gilbert said, before 1988, it wasn't 25%. It was 10%, maybe 15, but it was never 25. Secondly, the general mobility program as we know it is one in which the decisions on which projects to build are made solely by the member jurisdictions. They have to follow the rules within the Texas Transportation Code, but they decide what projects to build. And some of those projects have been very valuable regional projects, and some of them have been things like a cul-de-sac with six houses on it, because those decisions have been made by the member entities. Before 1988, what Metro actually did was did basically a master plan for the region of important regional projects, and that general mobility funding went towards those projects. Maybe something like that, but I really don't see that if this fails, that we can in good conscience continue the program as it stands. So what I would say there is, what that means is, for those member jurisdictions and for those people who like that money being spent on roads, they really need to vote yes on this. Because what this does is it guarantees that going forward. And if it doesn't pass, I have a hard time looking at this language and then as a Metro board member voting to continue sending those checks for 25%.
You were the sole person on the Metro board to vote against this referendum. Do you plan to vote for it in November?
I'm not telling people how to vote on this, frankly. I mean, I think it's important that everybody understand the implications of this. I mean, first of all, I think we as a Metro board did what was politically possible here. Ultimately, we're appointed, and we have to operate within a political universe that's defined by elected officials, that's defined by the multiple jurisdictions, that's defined by everyone who's politically active in whatever way they're politically active. And I do think Gilbert worked incredibly hard to get the best possible referendum for transit here. I was really disappointed because, frankly, I think that neither of these two choices is actually a choice that lets us do something like the University Line quickly. Neither of these choices guarantees that the University Line happens. The yes vote, as we said, there's a restriction on that additional money. We can do lots of good things with it, but we can't build rail with it. And so if the sales tax projections hold up, we're talking new rail lines sometime in the mid-2020s, which is a long time from now, and I'm going to be riding those trains. But a no vote doesn't guarantee anything gets built either. A no vote has some clarity to me on what the board could act on, but the reality is we know that a lot of the member jurisdictions and also just general opponents of transit have made threats about going to the legislature. And I can't predict what Austin does. Austin is a rather crazy place. And so if this does go down, there's no guarantee that this results in a bunch of money going to transit. It could turn out better for transit, or it could actually turn out worse. And so my vote was along the lines of saying, you know, what I think is the right option, which is an option which lets us both build rail and continuing to build roads, is not on the ballot. And it's not on the ballot because somehow we could not get the political will together, the regional consensus together to make that happen. And that really frustrates me.
I mean, you may recall that my original proposal was similar. It got the sales tax growth, all of it, to Metro, which over a time period would wean the mobility down from 25% to approximately 11%. Over a 16-year period, and the total dollars were about $1.6 billion to Metro. And frankly, I couldn't get a lot of support on that proposal, which is why, you know, my ultimate goal was to always find something that would keep people together to avoid controversy and struggles in the community and in Austin, while at the same time continued mobility projects in some way, shape, or form, but while at the same time got money to Metro. And so I'm happy we landed at a place that accomplishes those things.
I mean, to pick up on something Christoph said in his previous answer, something that I've wondered about, is there any accounting of how the member entities, Harris County, Houston, the member cities, how they use these funds? I mean, I certainly agree that, you know, it's clear that some of it has been used on projects that anyone would agree improve general mobility, but some maybe don't. Do we have any accounting for how these monies are used? And if the answer right now is no, can we work towards that?
Well, there are normal accounting processes or accounting in place, but I think what Christoph,
I mean, really, I'm saying is like easily accessible reports.
That's right. I think that there is. I think what Christoph is mentioning, though, is more of a there's not an approval process where someone can say, we're going to do this, and Metro can say, well, denied. So that's not in place. But ultimately, there is an accounting. We know exactly where things are being used, and so we're fully aware of that. You know, we're looking right now as we're working on the agreements to continue some sort of accounting and to potentially enhance that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one way to think about it is that the current contracts were put in place before the age of the internet, before the age of widely available electronic data, and they didn't foresee that. So we have an accounting system, but it's a paper-based accounting system, and you can dig into lists of projects. I mean, I think that given how the world has changed since 2003, since even the 2003 agreements were just extensions of previous agreements, given how the world has changed, I think it makes sense for there to be more electronic reporting so that the public can actually go to one place and see what these projects are. One of the things we've really worked really hard on at Metro since Gilbert and I got on the board, since we hired a new CEO, is transparency. We're being really transparent about how we spend our money. Our check register is online, so you can look at every check Metro writes. Our budget book is at an unprecedented level of detail. We're broadcasting every one of our committee meetings on the internet. We're trying to be completely transparent. And I'd like to have the general mobility program be equally transparent, not in terms of us telling our member entities what to do, but in terms of letting the taxpayers know where their money's going.
It seems like one of the dynamics in mobility, regional mobility, is that it tends to be more contentious than cooperative. There's, you know, Harris County versus Houston, you know, the outlying regions versus Harris County and the city of Houston. I mean, one of the concerns that I have and that other people I've heard have is that, you know, the city of Houston tends to be on the short end of the stick, and that if you look at population trends going out to, oh, say, 2025 or so, you know, Harris County is going to be in a position to have more members on the Metro board, and that'll put the city of Houston in an even worse position potentially than it is now. What is your view on the relationship between, you know, the interests of the county and the interests of the city, and, you know, what can be done, you know, to make regional transportation be about more than, you know, from
us
my perspective,
yep.
Well, us versus them and building more highways out farther.
Well, first, I agree with your statement. I don't remember your word choice, but how contentious it's been. And I've had people tell me that, golly, transit in Houston is hand-to-hand combat. And I think it's come at a tremendous loss to the community, both in mobility projects, transit projects, but in federal funding and federal funding matching, because in the, you know, earlier days, $1 got matched $4. On our new three lines, on the two that are federally funded, $1 is matched with $1. So what a terrible loss in investment and economic development for the community. We cannot look backwards as a board. Hopefully this referendum and the cooperation that we've had with everyone together will be the beginning of working closer together to solve these needs, because if we don't solve the transit needs, it'll solve itself. And I don't think we'll like that outcome, because it'll just be more traffic paralysis. So there needs to be, in my view, communication and coordination.
And let me underline, the outcome is not just more traffic paralysis. If we don't deal with our transportation issues, companies and people will choose other places to live. That ultimately our economy suffers if we can't deal with our transportation issues. Let me put this, I think what Gilbert just said about hopefully this is the beginning of cooperation, I think is a really important point, because this has been really contentious. And looking back on the 2003 referendum, I don't think the 2003 referendum was a consensus. I don't think it was really the different jurisdictions and the different interest groups coming together. I think the 2003 referendum was a truce. It was a sort of negotiated ceasefire. It was, we'll all be unhappy together and we'll vote for this thing. But essentially, the moment it passed, all of the disagreements that had been there before the agreement were reached were still there. And they just manifested themselves in multiple other ways. And we've seen them as picket signs along Richmond. We've seen them as bills in the Congress. We've seen them as sniping between elected officials. There is no agreement in this region on a broader vision for transportation that includes transit, that includes roadways, that includes all of these pieces. We just don't have it. And what's frustrating about that is that other places do. I mean, you look at Dallas. They're above 70 miles of rail now. And they've done that because they have a, They're in a situation where all of their jurisdictions, including Fort Worth, I mean, including the broader metroplex up there, are on board with a plan. And they've just kept pushing forward on that plan. You look at places like Salt Lake City. I mean, we're getting ready to go up to like a little more than 20 miles of light rail. They've got 35 miles today. They're getting ready to build a line to the airport. I mean, this is deep red, conservative, middle of the desert city. And what they did is they had a regional planning process where they all came together and built a consensus around this is our plan for the future. And they've been steadily following through on that. You look at Denver. Got a longer system than we do today. They're about to open another line. They're about to build electric commuter rail to the airport. Once again, they built that regional consensus, and they've been following through on it. And that's what we haven't been able to do as a region.
So maybe my question is a long-winded way of asking, you know, are we at a point where the Harris County powers that be can look at the university line and recognize that there's value in that to them and not just to, you know, us inner loop elitists?
Well, we're working towards that. I will say this. The first step is here, which is I think they believe in Metro. I think they are grateful and happy to see the transparency, that there's they're happy to see the improvement in the financials, all of those things. And so I think a level of trust has grown to something that we haven't had before, and that's the first step. And I'm hopeful we will get there, and we're going to keep trying.
Yeah. No, and ultimately, I mean, what we know about Houston is that when this region wants to do something, we do it. I mean, when they decided, hey, we want to have a port 50 miles inland, they figured out how to do it. They came up with a whole new way of federal funding. They built the ship channel, and the effects on our economy have been huge. Texas Medical Center, I mean, that was open land, and they said, we are going to build a medical center here. And now it's greatest medical center in the world. Intercontinental Airport, likewise, they said, you know, we think aviation's really going to grow. And they ended up coming up with an airport that turned out to be big enough to handle 50 years of growth out in what was the middle of nowhere. And so I think as a region, we're really good at getting things done when we set our minds to it. But I think when it comes to our transportation system, right now we haven't yet figured out how to set our minds to it.
And we recognize that there is a great deal of growth outside the city. And we've got to find a way to serve those areas as well. So we understand that there's more work for Metro to do, too. And so as part of all of this, we just started a committee called a Reimagining Committee. We're reimagining the bus system that Christoph actually is going to be heading up to really look at the system to say, are we really maximizing moving people with the resources we have? First, and second, it will be with the additional funding that we have visibility on down the road, what can we do with that to maximize moving people? So I think it's a great opportunity, and I think this referendum is the first positive step going forward.
Yeah, I mean, this committee is actually, we're having our first meeting this Friday, and it's really a radical idea. What we're saying is, given the capital investments that have been made, given the concrete that has been poured into the ground, and given what we know about the demographics of this region and where people are and where they work, what is the best possible system we can operate within the resources we have? And that's a blank sheet approach. That's not taking the current bus lines for granted. That's saying, if we were to design a system for scratch for this region, what would it look like? And if you think about it, the bus lines we're operating have essentially been piecemeal modifications of a system that dates back to the 1920s. We have bus routes today that owe their routing to streetcar lines. And if you think of how much this region has changed and the city has changed over 100 years, it makes utterly no sense that the route structure that was just piecemeal adapted over time would be the best system. And I think if we relook at that structure, we can come up with a system that serves more people better. And we can increase ridership, and we can make the trips that the people who are already riding the system take better. Okay. And it's not going to be politically easy, because whenever you do one of these things, if you make somebody's trip a little bit worse, they're going to come out and be upset. If you make somebody's trip better, they're not going to show up to the public meeting. So it will be a politically difficult thing to do, but one of the things this board of Metro is doing is we are taking on the politically difficult things to make transit better and to put a better foundation for the future.
All right. Christoph Spieler and Gilbert Garcia, thank you both very much for talking to me today.
Thank you for having us.